Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and today we push open the doors and invite you to come in. Got a really kind of interesting question here today. I don't think we've ever talked about this. It has to do with asking for help. Do you ask for help? Do you find it hard to ask for help? Is it a control? Do you think it's a control issue? Is it a pride issue? Is asking for help a good thing to do? When do you ask for help? How do you ask for help? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center, and let me get the phone number to you right off. It's 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And when you ring, it comes right here into the studio. We'd love to talk to you today as we focus on what it means to have an intentional life in Christ. Today, from our Intentional Living Center, we're laying on the table a discussion and opening the doors to come on in and talk about asking for help. You think about it, God has built us into a community. He said it was not good for man to be alone. He put us into a community where we can support one another. But I have to confess, this is one of these topics that I'm not very good at. So I tell you, I'm going to learn too. I hate asking for help. I'd rather try to do it myself. It bugs me to have to hire someone to do something I think I can do myself. I get into it. And my wife says, Randy, why are you doing that? Somebody can help you with that. But, you know, we do that in spiritual ways. We do it emotionally. We do it in our marriages when you need help. You don't ask for help because you think you can figure it out or you deny it or whatever. And we all do it. We can do it medically. We can do it in finances. We can do it with our kids. And we just need each other. It's part of the, you know, it's part of the way God wired us. But we got to be careful who we ask for help from, right? So how do you ask for help? When was the last time you had to ask for some help, and what was that experience like for you? 888-888-1717. I just thought of a story. Living in the desert, instead of having beautiful grass and all of that that many people have, we have rocks. My yard is full of rocks. And we had to spread some rocks over the dirt and out in the front of our house. And I did the math on how many rocks we had to have and what style rocks we were going to put in, and came out to be 16 ton. Now, folks, that's a lot of rock, okay? But I was bound and determined to do it myself. So the big dump trucks come in, dump 16 ton of rock, and I'm gonna spread this myself. And Donna, my wife, bless her, she's having a fit. She's saying, you can't do that yourself. You're too old and you're too tired, you're going to kill yourself. I'm going to find you out. No, I can do it myself. Confession is good for the soul, right? And I took a week off. I thought I could do it in a couple days, two or three days, and then I would have a couple days of vacation, do some other things. And we're day three, and I still got about 10 ton of rock left. And I'm spreading it, and I'm moving it, and I'm getting more frustrated. And Donna says, well, why don't you get some help? And I'm getting more frustrated. Finally, on the fifth day, my vacation's gone. I'm moving rock. And I order pizza. We order pizza. And the pizza delivery guy delivers the pizza. And he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving 16 ton of rock. And I said, you want a job? So I hired the pizza guy. He came back and helped me finish the rocks. So a little bit of pride there. But, you know, on a more serious level, we do that, don't we, with things that really, truly matter in our life. How do you ask for help? Can we help? You know, God's equipped us, I think, to help think through things intentionally and to take a biblical perspective. That's the one thing that we are here on this planet to do. And we love you guys. 888-888-1717.
Hello, my name is Corey, and I listen to the program a lot. I absolutely love it. I was just wondering if you could give some advice on new marriages and housing. I am currently getting ready to get married. I live in an apartment right now at my aunt and uncle's house that I don't have to pay on. They're having me live there as a blessing because I'm a pastor. I am getting married, and my fiance isn't crazy about the idea of living there, and she's wanting to buy a house, but I'm looking at the finances and not quite sure how we can do that. I'm not totally sure how to address it. So if you could possibly do that, I would greatly appreciate it because I love this advice and I could use some of it right now. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. That's good. That's good timing. Here's a question coming in asking for help. I'll tell you, we had a post that we put on our Facebook and then on our website called 10 Reasons Not to Get Married. 10 Reasons Not to Get Married. I sat down, I looked at what are 10 reasons you should think about before you say I do, before you get married. And we had our biggest day on our website 2 days ago, people coming to get that, which I thought was interesting. But, you know, before you get married, I made the statement there, don't get married if you're not in agreement on the important stuff like money and kids and investments and life. And if you can't agree now on this very first step of how we're going to live, are we going to be good stewards of what we have? We're not going to get in debt. We're not going to get over our heads. It can become a problem later on. And I appreciate the fact that she may not want to live there and you want to save money. But if the two of you can't come to an agreement on how to do this, it's just a precursor to bigger problems down the road. So I don't think the issue is so much should we live there or not live there. I think the issue is how you make the decision to live there or not live there. That would be more important to me. Because ultimately, you can make the right decision if you pray about it and you get out the paper and pencil and do the math and come up with a strategy of how you want to live. But if you guys can't do that about a house, you'll never do it about kids, sex, career, ministry, and life. Okay? Just a thought. There's my help. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you have trouble asking for help?
Yeah, you know, over my entire life, I guess, humbly, I say God's been giving me the gift of a giver. But that also comes with not wanting to ask for help, always feeling as if, you know, I wasn't really at the bottom and I had more than somebody else. And I'm 52, so it's taken my some years to come to the realization that you will get to a point where you need to ask for help.
Yeah.
You might be going through a trial, but God will help you at any time, but he wants you to ask for help.
So how so when you reach are you out learning to
your
do it?
Community,
are you doing it?
Yeah, not that it's, I won't say it's not easy. The transition's been good because it gives you hope you didn't have even when you're an optimistic person. To let somebody help you is a true blessing.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
And then thinking the other side of that, of how blessed you are when you help others.
Absolutely.
If you let somebody help you, they're going to get a blessing out of that also.
And you know,
so you don't want to shortchange anybody else either.
That's a really good point, Bob, because people are gifted in different ways. Some people are mechanically gifted and others are not. Some are mechanically challenged. Some people are, you know, have technology. Some people have insight. Some people have wisdom more than others. Some people have biblical knowledge. Some have, I mean, we look at the practical five essential areas of life: health, finances. We talk about work. We talk about relationships. We talk about spiritual development. And we can gain support when we go to those who can help. And at the same time, make ourselves available to help others. Not only in a business setting, but just as a ministry, just because we care about people, which I think is an important thing. That's a good reminder, Bob. Don't short circuit what God might be doing to allow somebody else to help you.
Yeah, and then the last thing, well, I could talk forever, but the one thing that I think is important too is, you know, we say it all the time, but our God is an amazing God. And whatever those fears that you have are for asking for help, it's amazing how he will show you that there was no reason to fear.
Absolutely. It's a good reminder because otherwise what we do, I think, if we allow fear or pride to drive us, Bob, I think it stops what, you know, the good thing that might go on in this, you know, this interaction with getting help. All right. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, and
go ahead. Go ahead and let you finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've stepped out many times in my lifetime on what I felt was a call. And it may take you some time in life or some time to develop that relationship with Christ to trust the call. But if you ever step out of that first call, like stepping off a cliff, it'll become addictive and you'll be blessed many times over.
Good reminder. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day there in Michigan.
This is Betty Garrett, founder of Caregivers for Cancer. One way you can be intentional in your caregiving is to ask for help. I know it is tough, but you cannot do this alone. create a list of tasks, writing down things people can do for you, such as going to the grocery store, picking up the laundry, taking the kids to school, sitting with your loved one while you run errands, or they can even take your car to be serviced. There are a zillion things people can do for you. You just have to ask. Remember, it is a position of honor to be asked, so please let others help you and your loved one. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength, yet it is tough to do. Self-sufficiency is not going to get you any more stars, but it will get you a trip to Stressland. Accept your limits and share the responsibility with family and friends. Develop realistic expectations for yourself and others. For intentional living, this is Betty Garrett.
That's good, Betty. Thank you for sharing that. And there is strength in asking for help, and we've been I think we've been created to do that, to give and to share, and that's why community is so important. Okay, let me get Sonia on the line here from Kansas. Hi there, Sonia. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
Do you struggle asking for help?
Yeah, I think it all started when I was a child. It seemed like I was put in a position where I was the first, and I end up having more responsibility than a normal child. And really, my parents weren't really there at home to give me that type of, guidance. So I ended up doing things a lot more.
Uh-huh. So you became overly responsible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it hurt me because now that I'm a parent and I have a husband that's gone all the time, I'm now put in that role of having to take on more than when I need to. And then I get overwhelmed and stressed. And then I feel guilty because I'm like, wow, I'm so used to doing everything. And then when I ask for help, I get, I'm busy, and then it's something, and then I just let it go. And then I get upset when why does anybody ever come to offer to help me? And then one thing that my husband tells me is, we need to move to around family, and then you'll get more help. And then I'm like, well, why don't they call? Or do something to show that they care. I don't know if this sounds weird, and I know this is an odd subject, but I just tend to be the people pleaser, and then I get upset when no one else offers. And then when I do ask, then I end up wanting to just take over and say, never mind, I'll do it myself, because you're just not going to do it right. And I don't know how to get over that mentality and accept people's help.
Yeah, Sonia, I think you said it well. You're a firstborn. You're a responsible person. It's get it done. And here's what happens. Everybody looks to Sonia when something's got to get done because they know you'll get it done. It'll be done right.
Mm-hmm.
So they see you as the one to turn to. You're the go-to person. And yet inside, you're feeling like, hey, come and help me. Why can't some other people in this family step up? Why do I always have to be the one to do everything? But see, part of it, Sonia, is you've taken that on yourself. You've played that role, and there's a point where you got to lay it down, and you got to ask for help. I don't know if this is in a family setting, like with siblings or whatever, but to be able to say, hey, I can't do this. There's other things that got to get done. Here's what I can do, and you do what you can. But here's what's happening, Sonia, and I think this happens to many of us who are overly responsible people. We go ahead and do whatever we need to do, and we keep doing it, and then we resent the fact that our expectation of other people is not being measured, not being matched.
That's the problem. And how do I get my mind in the right track and be intentional?
All right. Well, here's what you have to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that happens by telling yourself the truth. The truth is you can't be responsible for what other people do or not do. And when you do and you place expectations on them, here's a reality. Expectations minus reality always equals disappointment. And so you either have to adjust expectations or reality. And since you can't control another person, you've got to adjust your expectations of other people. In other words, when you do something, you do it within terms of your own ability, your own strength, without the expectation that others are going to pick up the rest. If you want help, then you need to ask for it. I think we get into trouble.
Even if they don't do it right, then...
There's another question. When they don't do it right...
Yes.
There's the ultimate control issue, isn't it?
And then you don't want to have conflict and then say something, because then they'll say, you're nagging.
Yeah.
And then you just say, forget it. I'm not even going to ask for help anymore. There's no point.
Well, it comes back, Sonia, to this word expectation. Here's the problem. We can't do it all. And whenever I feel like I have to do it all and not ask for help, if my wife is listening, she's just chuckling right now. She's chuckling. She's saying, oh, Randy, you're preaching your strongest sermon on your weakest point today, because it's true. But I am reminded at those moments that I think about Christ. At the end of his time here on earth, he turned it over to others, didn't he? He didn't heal everybody. He didn't share the gospel with every person on the planet personally. He didn't do all the discipleship. He didn't, you know, build the church. He didn't do all these things. He got his group of guys together, the disciples, and he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think in our lives, here's the deal. When we try to do it all, Sonia, and this is going to hurt all of us who love doing it all, it's really a prideful thing. We're saying it's not, if I don't do it, it won't get done. If I don't do it, it won't be done right. If I don't do it, the world is going to struggle. The reality is, I'll tell you, it's hard to admit, but as John Maxwell says, take a bucket of water, put your hand in the bucket, stir it all around, pull your hand back out, and the water will go back to the way it was before. And we got to understand that here on this planet, God has a specific purpose for us. And we can make all the noise while our hands in the bucket of water we want, going in or coming out. But the reality is, if we keep our focus on Christ and not on our own importance, that'll help us not to have to do everything ourselves. I don't know if that made any sense. Did to me, but it's a thought about pride and control when it comes to not asking for help. We're not to rejoice and celebrate my anxiety. I think many times as Christians, we confuse rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in the junk that's going on in our life. And it's easy to think, well, God, listen, I'm gonna rejoice in this pain. I don't want the pain. I'm gonna rejoice in the health challenge. I don't wanna rejoice in the cancer diagnosis. I don't rejoice in that. That's a problem. That's a result of sin. There's nothing good about that I see in my experience. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, which really comes back to the focus that we have, being able to rejoice in God no matter what we're facing at any particular moment. Not rejoicing in our worry, or our fear, or our problems, but rejoicing in the Lord, which is a daily commitment.
Boy, that's an excerpt from the teaching for members this month on the topic of how to rest an anxious mind. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Very hard to do. It is. It's impossible, in fact, without God's help. And so I wanted to do a teaching for members to encourage you and to walk with you through the same thing that I wrestle with. Anxiety seems to be present on every turn in our society. And we see the statistics indicating anxiety on the rise, more anxious teenagers than ever, more anxious marriages, more anxious individuals. We have more than ever, more stuff. We have economic growth in the country. Seems like a lot of, quote, positive things are going on, and yet anxiety's on the increase, suicide's on the increase. The challenges of life continue to grow. And how to rest an anxious mind is a biblically-based approach, the steps to take to do that. So members, watch for it. If you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to include you into our monthly teaching and also have an opportunity to move forward with you as you take month by month, day by day, choosing to live an intentional life. You can join us today. It's very simple. Just go to our website, theintentionallife.com. Again, the address is theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. God bless you. Appreciate your support to continue this mission called Intentional Living.
Blended families need to give each other room to hurt. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. When you fell in love with your new spouse, it didn't mean that your children also fell in love with the idea of a new family. They may likely be frustrated, hurting, and angry. Perhaps you're wanting to move on and they're still stuck with the hurt. So allow each person to move at their own pace, their own timetable. Don't ignore and don't force. Be patient. Give them room to hurt, but not allow disrespect. There's a difference. Disrespect is something that needs to be disciplined. Hurting is something that needs to be understood and listened to and allowed in a family. When you do these things in your family, as you try to blend and work through these issues, what's happening is you're being intentional.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Dr. Randy, this is Chris. I'm from Lansing, Michigan. Just calling to let you know that I started listening to you back in September. You have been incredible. Things that I've learned from you have been intentional in my finances, going through a struggle of possibly losing my house. Took your key points and just really started working on things financially and living intentionally for Christ and changing the aspects of the music and stations that I listen to and focusing more on trusting God and leaning not on my own understanding, but really focusing on Him because only He can help me throughout the struggling times. And He definitely did. And now, as I've worked on intentionally with my finances, God has saved my house. And my increase has come through work and more pay and more time. And I just really want to thank you for what you've done and for the words that you speak and for the advice that you've given. It has been incredible. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. What encouragement. Appreciate it. Asking for help. Murray is on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. How do you relate to this topic today, Murray?
My family has struggled for past 5 years. We've had to ask for help many times. Several times we were asking for help through prayer, and we would see God answer immediately. We have struggled with homelessness, and we've been told by different organizations during this time period that in order to get the help for housing, things like that, they would actually have to split up my family. We would have to submit the kids to the system, and then my wife would get housing through a woman's shelter, and I would get housing through a men's shelter. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for 5 years. We've since found housing where we're living with other people for the past 3 years. And we rent maybe a 12 by 12 bedroom, or we've rented a part of their house, a couple bedrooms, three bedrooms is where we're at now, which is really nice. Asking for help has become something that has been, number one, humbling for me, as the man of the house. And also just basically a way of life for us because we've lost our jobs. My wife is disabled. So it's been something that we've had to come almost accustomed to.
Well, you know, Murray, I'm sorry you're going through this. And I respect the fact that you as the leader in your home have been willing to ask for help and continue to progress by taking advantage of the help that people offer in order to better your life and your family. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where, man, you look at what's going on around the planet. The need for help is everywhere. And in fact, unfortunately, and many times, the willingness to receive help is greater than the willingness to give help. So while we focus today on the aspect of asking for help, many times we ask for help out of still a position of great strength compared to some people in the world who are asking for help out of a need for survival. And I guess I would be remiss if I didn't share I think as a follow-up to what Murray is sharing and what's going on in the world today, that those of us who have been blessed, the scripture says, we've been blessed in order to bless others. And so, you know, the help that you can give to other people today may be very practical. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be buying a meal. It could be supporting a ministry that's making a difference in your community. It could be, helping clean the yard of a widow or a person that needs some help. I know our own ministry here has Servant Saturdays that we set up around the country through our radio ministries, where we invite the community to come out and serve others in the community, because it is out of this opportunity to serve others. And I hear this theme throughout this whole broadcast, that we receive a blessing as we help others. Father, let me pray for you to the Father in heaven today. And Lord, I pray for Murray and for everyone who's called and everybody trying to get through. The needs are great and seem to be greater than the resources, but we know you own the cattle, as it says, on 1,000 hills. And I pray that those of us that have will be able to give to those who are struggling today of our time and resources and heart and prayer at every level, that today will be a reminder, not only asking for help, but a willingness to give help. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Something that I try to do intentionally every day for my marriage, and that is to ask my husband how I can help him each and every day, whether it be errands I need to run in town, something I need to do for his business, something I need to do for him personally at home. That just really radiates respect to my husband that I have for him, and that I really care about just all things about him. And so that's something I intentionally try to do every day, and it's very simple. Just say, hon, how can I help you today?
There you go. It's a decision, isn't it? Intentional living is a decision. We ask questions, a lot of why questions that frankly we can never answer. But when we start asking the what question, you know, what should I do next? Or how should I proceed? When you ask these kind of future-focused, action-oriented kind of questions, there's where intentional living really thrives. That's where it lives. When you declare what God's intention is and you know what it is, you declare it, you step out. When you do that, that is intentional living. Christina, that's an intentional living decision that you're making for you and your husband. God bless you for doing that. We have more Christinas, more decisions like that. We have less family problems, less financial problems, less health problems, less challenges when we choose to live an intentional life. Hey, thanks for joining us today as we talked about marriage. Love to hear your comments. Share them with us on our comment line, 888-888-1717, and we'll see you next time.